heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. Soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
You know, at one point coming into the election season of 2020, I thought it was going to be a simpler race. Like, you know, like, okay, all we were really going to be worried about is that the Marxist socialists were trying to steal the country and that, you know, we'd have to fight socialism. You know, more or less an easier time, you know what I mean? Not to be, my fellow Americans. It's gotten quite serious in the Republic, and no matter where you look, it's a constant drumbeat and a narrative of fear that he has put out there to really change the, I think the mindset of a lot of people, and you instill fear into them, and then all rationale's out the window is what happens next. It is very critical and important we invite the independents, moderates, just left of center, these folks into America Out Loud. It is most important, and I beg you and plead with you to do that. We cannot be an echo chamber here. If we become just an echo chamber, we're not going to get the job done. So please heed my warning here. It's very important we reach across and we bring some of those people in. The idea is not to alienate folks and push them away. It's to include them into the bigger conversation, and it's really to open up their eyes so people will begin to see what really is going on here, because, hey, you're just not getting the truth anywhere out there is the problem. And I think all Americans can appreciate that. The 2020 election is going to be a telltale sign for a lot of reasons. All right, so it's not really systemic racism I'm really concerned with. I know that's the narrative that the socialist Marxist Democrats put out there, that it is indeed systemic racism. I don't think that's really what we need to be concerned with from a political standpoint and a bigger narrative, okay? I think it really more so is systemic plantation politics is what I'm most concerned with. And I think what I'm going to say to you is that in my discussions, even today, you know, I was speaking to the police, I was speaking to the FBI today to try to get some numbers and up-to-date information for you all. And I think what's become very apparent is that the Socialist Democrats, again, they're manipulating our black brothers and sisters. They're manipulating that part of America, and it's not a good thing. Now, listen, I Herman Cain has talked about this on my shows before. Reverend C.L. Bryant has, plenty of other great black conservative voices, Dr. Carol Swain. And they told you about plantation politics and how the Democrat Party has really held them hostage to their freedom, to really embrace in all that America is. And I think that's where you're seeing now a lot of this unrest play out. And you're seeing this in the conventions as well. You know, listen, Donald Trump, I mean, he's put it clearly out there, the president, he is about law and order. Everybody knows that. I mean, everybody knows his support for the military and his support for law enforcement. And that didn't happen last week. I mean, he didn't just turn the light bulb on when all these this unrest started in Minnesota. That's not when it started, you see. I mean, he has said that from the early beginnings, even before he was campaigning. You just knew where the man stood. Now, on the other hand, on the other side, you're not hearing anything as far as law and order. Quite frankly, and again, to all my Democrat friends and all of those independents and moderates, I mean, where was the conversation at the DNC about that? I mean, they totally ignored it. They didn't want to address it at all. It's like they don't want you to look at that shiny object, you see? I mean, so they put another shiny object over here, and that's where they used the pandemic, which we're going to talk about all of this today, including how all of this is politicized. And when you're in the political field, you use whatever tools in front of you. I want each of you to understand that. It's really just called dirty politics, and that's what you do in that business. It's a dirty business. I mean, if an impeachment doesn't work and a Russia collusion doesn't work and a Ukraine doesn't work and a 25th Amendment doesn't work and the guy is absolutely freaking crazy doesn't work, what the hell you got left, people? You use whatever resources are in front of you. So you take the cop that shoots the guy at Floyd and right in Minneapolis, and you take that and you politicize it. You politicize the pandemic, and you do whatever you have to do to be able to regain control. Because I'm going to suggest to you something right now. I think the Democrat Party is coming to the end. I'm not. That's not just a funny comment. I'm not trying to be smooth or suave here or sarcastic even. I believe they know they're coming to the end. I think at some point, and it's coming closer and closer now, Americans are discovering how screwed up they really are. You can't hide that stuff forever. You know, this has happened before in America. I talked on the weekend about this same topic. I posed the question to Dinesh D'Souza about exactly this, and he brought up clearly the Whig Party. It happened. And like he said, it happens kind of suddenly. And it did back then in the 1860s as well. And that, in fact, Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican president. But before that, it was the Whig Party that would battle the Democrats for power in America. And that all happened with the Wide Awakes and the movement back. There's a whole history behind that, people. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of similarities in today's world as compared back to that era where we had the Civil War and we were at each other's throats, America was. And, you know, there was a lot we were trying to determine as a nation back then. And slavery, and there's so much. And, you know, history tends to sometimes repeat itself, especially when you burn it all and you destroy it and you don't pay attention to what happened in yesteryear, and which is, again, part and parcel why they're running around trying to kill everything. They don't want you to remember back then. Well, why would they want you to remember back then? They created the problem. Now, you know, I have to tell you, you see Joe Biden and Kamala Harris come out and they've got, you know, the mask on, the black mask, and, you know, which is really sends the image like, you know, and then the awkwardness of the social distancing too. Do you remember seeing that at the DNC where they were like, they went to like shake each other? Oh, can't do that. Like they wanted to shake each other or hug each other. Like it was an awkward, like, I can't touch you. Can't do it, man. And they pull away from each other and the awkwardness of all that, you know? And of course, a lot of the segments in the DNC were pre-taped and pre-rehearsed and all of that. I think a lot of us were curious to see where would the RNC go? And well, we see they have a totally different vision and version of America. Then when you see Trump and you see Pence and you see they don't have the mask on, they're not playing that game. You know, and we can play that game all day long, people. I mean, everybody is a bit everybody's playing loose with the mask conversation. I've had that conversation with enough MDs as well, and people who know what they're talking about. And you know, again, yeah, if you're going to sneeze and you're going to do a wet sneeze, yeah, put a damn mask on, will you? I try not to hang with those people, anyways. You know, the achoo and it's all over the room. No, thank you very much. I don't want whatever you're having. In that case, do more than a mask. Give me a mask and a goggle and a whole suit there I'll put on. But people, I mean, if you're hanging with those kind of people, well, then, yeah, wear a damn mask. Wear goggles, a whole scuba setup if you have to, for God's sakes. I mean, if that's what you want. Sure, I try not to hang with those people if they got no manners or no class or no style. It just was ironic to me how you looked at those images of the RNC and the DNC. I mean, come on, people. I mean, who the hell are we kidding here, you know? I mean, and so it totally is a different, much more at ease, much more comfortable. You know, the sky wasn't falling with Trump and Pence. And of course, what a beautiful moment you've seen with the Vice President Pence at Fort McHenry in Baltimore. This was the site of the war in 1812, as you recall. And the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner. Pence did a great job at the, his speech was fantastic. I thought the RNC has been delivering a lot of inspiration, but also talking to real Americans, talking with real people. And, you know, whether it's farmers or truck drivers, all kinds of people. And it's a very American theme that is being played out here. So, again, as I start here and I want to talk to you, I want to cover a lot in this hour with you. And here we'll have Dr. Marty Fox on today with us. And Dr. Elizabeth Lee-Vliet will also be here. And so we're going to cover some really big points with each of them and their perspective fields of expertise and but I think the thing I start with, and I want you to understand now, okay, all right? We're not just talking, we're fighting the evils of socialism anymore. Just, you can forget that simple plan. I mean, We thought we were up for a real, you know, challenging election season back at the end of last year. I got news for you, man. We blew that right out of the water here. You know, it's like I remember back in last November, as I always referenced last November, this was pre-pandemic and pre-civil, pre-Minneapolis. And, you know, it was just this was in the impeachment trial, trying to impeach the president. And we thought, oh, this is a simpler day. We're just trying to impeach the president's ass out of office. Much, much easier. And they're trying to take it over with socialism and Marxism. Ah, this is a breeze. Good golly, what more can they throw at us, huh? At we the people. I mean, think about it in those terms. It's insane. It is insanity. People say to me every day, can you believe this? Hell no, I mean, believe what? Believe that we're coming unglued by the hour? Sure, I can believe it when the Democrat Party is dying. They will hopefully become part of the Whig Party on the ash heap of history. And I suggest to you, if that happens, then we can, the moderates and independents and JFK Democrats can come together and form another party. I'm not suggesting you, we just need one party. I don't think one party is where America is going to be. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about just that. No. I think we need several parties, quite frankly. I think we need more than the two. And we also need term limits. Pull up a chair. I can tell you a whole lot more we need too in this country, huh? But you get the point of what I'm talking about here. And so I think that we'll see where this 2020 thing goes, people, okay? And then at that point, we'll then have a big conversation just after that and talk about where America is going to be. Either way, let me just give you all some thought here that we're not going to, you know, things don't explode on the 4th of November when we get up. It's not all over. Okay, no matter what, oh my God. I mean, I know everybody thinks it is, like the world is going to end if this happens or that happens or whatever scenario, but don't underestimate the empowerment of we the people. They will rise, I assure you. And either way, there's going to be a spark there somewhere. I can assure you of that as well. It's not going to be all that pleasant. I told you that yesterday after the 3rd. There's going to be a moment, and we're going to have to come and recognize that moment. Especially if there's a landslide and it happens on one side or the other. If it happens on the Trump side, you know it's going to happen. You know that spark is going to be there. We'll see. Just know that I told you that and I warned you about what's happening there. So, all right, now here's the narrative I want to take forward in a moment with Dr. Marty Fox. I want to talk to you about. So beyond this socialism business, I think what's happening now is the unrest you're seeing now in Kenosha, Wisconsin is the latest here. And there are others as well. And it's created, they're undermining this. And again, they're spotlighting the Marxist radical groups and outside forces as well. They've partnered with the Democrat Party is what's happening in that whole narrative. And they've done it sort of seamlessly. And so what happens is they take these moments and then they spotlight them and blow them up. And then you get the media all over it and it becomes another hullabaloo, which is what's happening in Wisconsin right now. And this is a big deal. But let me just tell you, that was one man shot by police that day and we didn't even have all the facts. And you know, the thing I asked several police officers, I asked the FBI today, how many white people were shot that day in America? Can you tell me that, please? And how many Hispanics were shot that day? How many Asians were shot? Tell me something. Was he the only guy shot like anywhere that day or that weekend? Well, of course not, Mr. Malcolm. I mean, the hell do you think here? You know, I mean, evil and criminality always exist, people. But yet, why do they just hone in on that one? I don't think I even need to explain it to you now, do I, my fellow Americans? I'm sure you can figure that all out for yourself. We'll pause a moment and be back with Dr. Marty Fox and Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet on The Voice of the Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us, Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So there are two different approaches to this entire election season. You really have the socialist Democrat model, and you have the Republican model. And we'll talk more and more about both of these. One of them is for, you know, freedom versus, again, what many of us don't want is government control. That's one thing about Americans. Most of us don't like to be told what to do or how to do it, right? But the power is with the people. And, you know, as it always is reminded to me, that's what Donald Trump had promised the American people back at his inauguration, in fact, when this whole thing was turned on. And, you know, if you look back at some of those images, by the way, on Inauguration Day there, back there with Trump, you can see the fear on some of the, I go back and look at those images. It makes for a hell of a moment, I'll tell you. You look at the body language of a lot of the people around Trump. You'd think an asteroid just hit in the backfield just behind them, you know? I mean, the scare and fear on their faces, and they knew that, you know, this drain in the swamp business wasn't just a talking point for Trump. He had nothing else to lose at that point. You know, you kind of get to a point in your life where you say, you know, I'm just going to put it all out there, man. I got nothing else to lose. Here it is. Here's my truth, America. Well, you know, that's the way I've been all my life. But I think a lot of people get to a point in their life and they just let go, say, you know what? What is it? Just, you know, come on. You know, let's just get to the truth. Let's get to the point. And then, of course, you have the Democrat model, which is the lockdown, the Fauci Burks and frickin' frack, I call them lovingly, you know. You know, the thing not to be lost on anybody is these Democrat-run cities that are being, I mean, should that be lost on anybody? No. The Democrat-run cities that are being overrun by violent mobs. I mean, clearly, everybody can see that. I mean, these are not, you know, conservative strongholds or something, you know. So, I mean, everybody can see that, and they know that. Democrats know that. And so let's talk about those two models and bring on Dr. Marty Fox here. He's a political analyst, a public speaker, physician, former talk show host, and just a great communicator and orator of facts here, Dr. Marty Fox. So the two narratives I point out, Marty, in the program here, and you hear the monologue. Listen, I'm pretty juiced today. You have to understand that, and I'm ready to take it all on, brother. But give me your point of, you know, I look at this election as more than just socialism now. This is a complete takedown is what's happening here. What's your version of it?
Yeah, I think these two narratives, Malcolm, the violence, the racial unrest, along with the coronavirus, these are the two devices that the Democrat Party is using to try to win this election. You mentioned that they didn't mention anything about the violence at the DNC. Nobody said anything. Nobody condemned it. And I've said in the past, I mean, why would anybody expect them to condemn their black shirts? You know, we have to go back a little bit to how this began, because Antifa, Black Lives Matter, these are Democrat-related, coordinated groups. And this is the same old Democrat MO. They create the problem. They blame their opponent, in this case, President Trump, for the problem. They created this racial unrest. They are involved in these violent groups, BLM, these Marxist groups. And the solution is supposed to be to elect them. There was a poll, there was a Pew poll that showed that the violence and the unrest was high on the list of things that people were concerned about in this election. And Biden put out this statement on video where he very tepidly condemned it. And you had Don Lemon the other night telling Biden that you have to condemn it. You know, when the left, the New York Times and these left hosts say something that's critical of Democrats, they're really not criticizing them. They are giving advice. so they can defeat their common enemy, President Trump. So this racial unrest all goes back to them. You mentioned that these are Democrat-run cities. I go past that. I say these are coordinated with these Democrats, just like I think a lot of these lockdowns are coordinated with these blue state governors and mayors. I think this is all part of the plan. It's not random. And I think it's going to continue. I don't see where it's going to stop right now, except that I think Biden, I think they realize they have to appear that they don't condone it at this point.
The bigger problem is going to be this. You know, we talk about plantation politics. I think everybody understands what that really means. But that's the term that Reverend C.L. Bryant and Herman Cain and other great black conservative voices, friends of mine, all would suggest. And Dr. Carol Swing would say the same thing. But it's gone further now. And what really concerns me is they are again using our black brothers and sisters as pawns. And so what happens, and when I was talking to the FBI and looking at some of the numbers here, so far this year, 111 blacks have been killed by police so far this year. Not terribly different than last year. The full year last year was 235, by the way. At the same time, white American, 215 so far have been killed by police, 370 last year. And you can go right across the line and look at Hispanics as well, 71 this year, 158 last year. So when you begin to look at the numbers and you see that, and then you look at the percentage of population, you have to look at the ratio and all, but then you have the black on black crime and you get other considerations of our urban cities and crime in general that is escalating because of the defunding and abolishing police. But the narrative they put out there now is that police are bad. So police are bad. So what they're doing now, I would suggest to you, Marty, they're given a license to Black America again and the young black male to go, as far as I can see now, and I've talked to the police about this, to commit crimes. And it's a license they're now saying to them, because as soon as something goes wrong or that narrative is bent or like whatever happens, the media, and they know that the media and the Democrat Party is going to jump all over the case and they're going to support them. They don't care what the evidence is. Not if the guy has a machete or an AK-47 or an atomic bomb in his car. Doesn't freaking matter. I mean, that's the narrative. And so what's really hurts me is that some of our young black young men are not aware of this, Marty. I mean, they're really biting the bullet and they think that this war, they think the Democrats are their friends. You see what's how this whole thing is so screwed up and warped?
You know what? It's what they always do on steroids, because they know they can't win without the black vote. So it's gone the next level from you're a racist to this kind of enabling violence and these narratives. You got a 10-second videotape of a black man going into his car after he was already tased and they couldn't stop him. And it looks like he's probably going for a weapon, which we find out now he was going for a weapon. And of course, you know, this is, systemic racism now. So the policeman was doing his job. It appears that way to me, mm-hmm. if he's going for a weapon. So of course, this is going to be the narrative. And you'll never hear about the fact that more white people have been killed by the police than black people, that there's more black on black crime. You never will hear about that. They, you know, we have made the statement, I think accurately, that, you know, dead Americans are acceptable collateral damage to advance these agendas, you know, as far as coronavirus goes and the violence. And you see it. You see it in these violence, You see it in these businesses destroyed. You see it in Chicago every weekend. You see it in Planned Parenthood killing, more black babies than anybody could imagine. And the Democrats are okay with that. And the Democrats lecture us about following the science. So, I don't think anybody who tells us a black baby is a clump of cells should be lecturing us about what is science. But this is going to continue, and I hope people watched some of the RNC. I hope they saw Herschel Walker, Jack Brewer, other black spokespeople who are reasonable and rational and understand what racism really is. I hope they watch that because you couldn't see a more glaring contrast between the DNC and the RNC. I mean, the RNC was a celebration of America, a celebration of freedom, liberty, all the things that we cherish as America. And that was very powerful. And I think the black spokespeople were very powerful, especially Herschel Walker.
What I think makes us so unique, Marty, is what they continue to use to divide us, separate us, keep us at odds. If we ever come together as a people, I would suggest to you, and I pray that we do after 2020, after this election, because you're right, this is going to continue on right now. It's going to go on. And there's so many examples of it where we've got to show our black brothers and sisters what's happening here, that they are being used. And I even seen someone that told me the other day, Marty, that some of those outside forces in other countries knew that they were going to use racism as the tool to divide America, because they know it's a wound that once they pull the Band-Aid off, it bleeds badly here in this nation. There's a history of it. And they had planned to use this at this time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I don't think you're going to see an explosion on Election Day. I think you're going to see complete chaos on Election Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the goal of the Democrat Party, between the mail-in voting and what I think will be strategically located violence. I think you're not going to have a result. You're not going to have enough in-person voting. You're going to have enough mail-in votes to throw the election into chaos. We won't have an answer. There's going to be the usual legal arguments. And I think that is the goal. And that is where the intersection is between how they're handling COVID-19 and the violence.
Yeah, it's a Hail Mary. This is their other Hail Mary before they go down in a reap of thunder there, but it is their Hail Mary. And you're right. I mean, with where this election is being set up now with the USPS and all of the disputes that are being put into play, and the universal mail-in voting, and send everybody a ballot, drop them from airplanes, who really cares? Send them to the funeral homes and please allow the dead people to vote. Please, please, you know. I mean, this is their mission, and it is to do all of this exactly. But, you know, Marty, here's the thing. You know, I think it's pretty safe to say right now that there are a lot of silent voices out there. We talk about a silent majority, but there are a lot of people who are silent. And I think the Democrats are on to the fact that middle America definitely woke up a long time ago. And they're probably aware of that. They also know that they don't talk to the pollsters in the polls, and the polls don't mean anything. They should. And I think the smart people in the party know that. The others won't admit it, but they know that because they know what happened in 2015 and 2016. They know what happened. And they know what's kind of going on here too. But here's what's interesting. When you get done with the DNC and the RNC and you begin to see some of the, I don't think the polls mean anything, but when you start to see them even shift, and you see the narrative and the media start talking about them, like, oh my God, like Trump's making some progress here. He's not that far behind. He was never behind, like they said, ever. I don't ever believe it for a moment. I believe he was in the front, but they won't show that. But once they start to see that, the middle America who, you know, just like they don't want to tell you, it's a personal thing who you vote for. Like, I don't want, it's none of your business. You know, I'm not going to talk to a poster either any more than most of my friends wouldn't talk to a poster. I mean, that is the silent majority right there. But I think when you combine that and you combine that with the shift that will happen to the people that will speak to them and that you'll see them turn, I think then, Marty, you're going to see the Democrat operatives behind there get really, really nervous. And they're going to do more of what you just said. I think they're going to do more of a Hail Mary, and they're going to throw it into the pot. And this thing is going to get pretty soupy as we get closer and closer to November 3rd. Don't you?
Yeah, I do. But I think there's something different going on here. Usually the whatever party it is, they play to the base in the primaries and they move over to the general and move to the middle. This is different with the Democrats. They're playing both. You know, they're playing to the radical base, and Biden is making statements targeting the center. Appease their radical AOC, Bernie Sanders, you know, base, while they realize they're going to lose the center, and they're trying to keep both in the general election. And I think precisely because they know that they can't really win an honest election is exactly why they're trying to throw it into chaos with this mail-in voting, hoping to get enough states with enough dispute involving electoral votes that they can delay the result. They're not going to get the result. They're not going to get these mail-in ballots on time, probably, in the first place, and try to throw it into the courts. Biden has hired, I think it's 600 lawyers.
Wow.
You know, so I think they have a plan for the courts and the activist liberal judges, and if they can just get it into the courts, because of what you said, I think everything you said about the silent majority, and it's even more than personal. They're worried about being attacked.
Yeah,
we saw Nicholas Sandman the other night. He gave a great talk. I think they're worried about losing their jobs.
Yeah,
it's more than just personal.
Many Americans are coming onto their game, and I'm talking about a lot of middle America now, and a lot of those independents, moderates, and Democrats that are very unsettled with this. They don't want to. A country of chaos and law and order. That's why they didn't want to talk about it at the DNC. And this story goes way beyond all this. I mean, there's a lot to this. I mean, just in the last couple of days, there was another big incident in Minneapolis, by the way. And the suspect killed himself, committed suicide as he was running from the police. And a lot of the narratives, the police were, they did that. They were involved in that. And then they started rioting in the cities again. And Minneapolis is being torn apart in the last couple of days again. You're not hearing those stories. Again, the liberal socialist media does not play them. They don't want you to know a lot of that. And they're hunting. In fact, quite frankly, I've seen a lot of sarcastic remarks from a lot of social media influencers in the last day or so, which made me chuckle, in fact, with Rachel Madcow there, the host there that had the Madcow disease of some sort, I don't know, but on MSDNC, yeah? And so she was out there saying, well, there's no riots. What are you talking about? Everything is fine in the city. You guys are, you know, I mean, she actually was saying this on her show. Pretty wild there, but that is the kind of America they all live in. Well, I'll tell you what, at least they go down on their sword, maybe some of these people. I don't know. Is the country just, you know, they're all good with that. It really rattles my mind, people. I can't put it in the proper context for you, quite frankly, to see how people would just do this to our beloved nation and do this to our fellow Americans is sadder than sad. The other big component to this whole deal, election right now, is the pandemic. Well, that is the other deal that's going on here that is being, oh my God, politicized, weaponized? You bet. And then some. And this was, again, it was a Hail Mary, but it was also a blessing from the evil gods who sent it to them, Satan, who sent it to the Democrat Party via the Chinese. That's what we got here is now. And the way this has been played out, you know, you've heard and heard a lot of conversation about, a lot of debate about early outpatient treatment versus home and hospital stays and more, you know, people dying from it unnecessarily. And then you got people like, you know, Governor Andrew Cuomo at the DNC up there celebrating like, hey, man, I did a great job, patting himself on the back. I mean, did you watch his speech? Like, you know, damn that Trump, man, I did a great job. And, you know, he was just touting his success and believing that this was all bad Trump. Of course, Trump did everything for him, bent over backwards. He's got them all on camera and mic saying what a great, that was the first video they released at the RNC with all the Democrat governors and mayors coming out saying, man, yeah, well, the president did great, sent us everything we needed. We really appreciate the federal government's response to this. And that was, if you didn't see that, go back and see it. That was the opening video at the RNC. It was well done. It was a commercial they put out there, but it tells you plenty. But again, in all of this, what should not be lost is this, and Dr. Elizabeth Lee-Vliet will speak to this very well in just a moment here. Here's what's sick about it. We're talking real American lives here. We're talking an act of criminality. We're talking people that are dying unnecessarily. Do you see what it is? This isn't just, you know, some other far distant narrative of a conversation of winning an election. People are dying unnecessarily. because they don't have the freedom to choose. They're being mandated through government control of what to do, and it's no longer between the doctor and the patient. Let's pause just a quick moment. We'll be back with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet and Dr. Marty Fox just after the pause.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our goal here is to get the Out Loud truth from sea to shine in sea. We want it to shine out there and everybody to understand. And listen, our agenda is an American agenda. It's not an extremist agenda. And so we invite all of your friends in and your independents and moderates and help me get to those people, please. Those are the people we want to attract here. We want them to be comfortable. We do not want them to be threatened. We want them to understand we stand for the same country they love. But we need to write this next chapter of America. History is, we're right in history at this very moment in time, as is the case, people. And it is time that we, the people, take control of this entire narrative, this entire conversation. We'll do that next here with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. She is an independent physician specializing in preventive and climacteric medicine. And you hear her on the platform, one of the passionate, for sure, well-spoken, excellent writer, writes for the platform as well. And just a blessing and a joy always to have Dr. Vliet with us. So we're talking about two different models here, Dr. Vliet. We're talking about, again, the lockdown model that Fauci kept saying. And there was a lot of confusion with that, with the whole mask thing and the medication and all of that. And then the Republican model, really, which is leave the power to the people. Tell us what's the latest on the frontier of this outpatient treatment, please, the early outpatient treatment.
Well, Malcolm, thank you for having me. And a couple of key points. Number one, the FDA is still stonewalling access to hydroxychloroquine. Just last week, the FDA denied the legal counsel for AAPS, gave them a chance to voluntarily release the medication. We have over 60 million doses in the national stockpile sitting in warehouses, not reaching the American people. And it was donated by pharmaceutical companies to help the American people in the outpatient setting, as well as hospitals. It's sitting in warehouses deteriorating because Dr. Hahn at the FDA continues to stonewall the President and Secretary Azar's goal of expanding access to the one medicine that works at the beginning of the viral illness. You stop the virus from binding to the cells and you stop the early viral replication. You keep people out of the hospital. There are now 58 studies worldwide that clearly demonstrate that. And I've seen it in my own patients that I treat. Most doctors on the front lines have similar experiences. So Dr. Hahn is stonewalling that. And our legal counsel has now filed another emergency injunction to get access to the medicine in the national stockpile and distribute it to pharmacies so that doctors on the front line can use it for their patients. The second problem is that Dr. Hahn has also refused to respond to the demand letter from Senator Johnson, Cruz, and Senator Mike Lee. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Ron Johnson, the three senators on the Senate Oversight Committee for Government Affairs and Homeland Security, sent a letter on August the 19th and gave Commissioner Hahn a week to respond with their demand for the data that he used to make the decision claiming outpatient harm with hydroxychloroquine, which we know is a false narrative created by Fauci, Hahn, and the deep state that are determined to use COVID for political and financial agendas. And very quickly, those two issues clearly intersect. The financial agenda is the billions of dollars at stake in the industrialized countries for a vaccine and vaccine sales. The political agenda is to throw the election into chaos and use COVID as the mechanism. And I literally say this in all seriousness, COVID and the fear ginned up about it has been used to literally rip apart the fabric of America. Everything that has made us strong as a country, our family units. You can't visit in the hospital. You can't visit family members in nursing homes. You can't travel to visit family. The churches, schools, small businesses, the doctor-patient relationship, our ability to go about our everyday life, the very fabric that has held this country together since the colonists arrived at Jamestown in 1608 has literally been torn apart by the management of COVID and ginning up the fear, the coordinated attack on the medicines, the coordinated attack on small businesses, the closures of churches while allowing the protest groups to gather in the thousands of people, whether they wear a mask or not, doesn't seem to matter if you're burning buildings and anarchy and rioting in the cities. And to look at the way that Emperor Fauci, and I use that term deliberately because he has really been allowed to have more power, and one man directing the entire response of this country over COVID, I've never seen anything like it. And other countries, sadly, follow suit. I mean, we're hearing from doctors in other countries who are now getting criticized for using drugs they've used for 65 years because of statements made by the FDA. And I have a picture of the FDA's website that shows, on the one hand, big, bold warnings of harm in the outpatient setting for hydroxychloroquine. And right under that, it says, does not affect FDA-approved uses for malaria, lupus, and rheumatoid arthritis. And you know, anybody with common sense, you don't have to be a physician to understand, well, what's the difference between a mild viral cold-like syndrome at the beginning of COVID and malaria, lupus, and rheumatoid? Why is it dangerous for outpatients with COVID, meaning out of the hospital, not seriously sick, and not dangerous for the other outpatients with these other diseases that are actually more devastating diseases? Yeah. And then right below that, July 1, 2020 update, a summary of the FDA review of safety issues with the use of hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine to treat hospitalized patients with COVID-19 is now available. They are basing all of their claims of outpatient harm on critically ill inpatients who have viral damage and inflammatory cytokine storm damage to critical organs and have comorbidities and are over age 60 typically. So they are it's like comparing Mars and Venus. It's not even apples and oranges, it's worse. It's like comparing Mars and Venus. The end stage of COVID is a very different disease from the beginning mild flu-like viral syndrome if you treat early. And I think we have absolutely seen total usurping of individual freedom, not only medical freedom, but freedom in every aspect of our lives. And as far as I'm concerned, this face mask and requiring it to be worn all day at work is dangerous,
right?
Because it drops the oxygen, it increases CO2, it puts stress on the body, on the heart, on the lungs. You're recirculating respiratory organisms that you shouldn't be recirculating. You should be clearing them out with fresh air. Mm-hmm. And it's the symbol of control. It reminds me very much of the way that Muslim countries suppress women with the burqa. Mm-hmm. We're suppressing Americans with the face mask.
Yeah. Thank you for saying the way you laid out a moment ago, the risk to the person for wearing the mask. And I'll give you an example, Lee, that I had to go to the eye doctor the other day here, to the optometrist for an exam. When I did that, of course, they send you all the pre-instructions, wear your mask, be a good steward, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I have not been wearing a mask at all. I don't desire it. I don't do it. And I'm not hanging around in the public square anyways to be doing that stuff, but don't want to do it. Now, when you're in a public place, even a mall or something, the problem is the damage here is pretty extensive because people will come up to you and confront you now. They've pitted American against American. You're somebody you don't even know. A complete stranger will come up to you and tell you to put your mask on. Or they'll come up and confront you in some way that becomes almost physical. And in many cases, it is physical. It hasn't been with me, but I know it has with others. And they will demand that you don't have any civil rights anymore. You need to fight. That's back to the government. You, I mean, there's the picture of it right there. You talk about government control. So at the optometrist, it was, you know, they wanted that mask on. And I don't breathe well with the mask on. It just doesn't cover my nose and mouth. Does it? So I said to the doc, I said, you know, this mask thing is not going to work for me, I said. So I need to take it off. He said, well, do me a favor. He said, just bring it down under your nose and just keep it kind of on your mouth a little bit. Just so in other words, go along with the gag, he's saying, the doc is saying. You see, like, go along with the gag. And, you know, it's not going to do a damn thing, but just because, you know, you've been mandated to wear the mask. So it's pretty sick what's happening here. And it's all being done for, again, as you say, usurp the power here. And that's what's happened here with this whole pandemic deal. I mean, clearly, here's the thing about it is, you talk about Dr. Hahn a moment ago here with the FDA. And, you know, Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale, which we talked about the other day, you recall, Dr. Vliet, remember? And he was the one who had that big interaction after the press conference that the president had. He was on the Mark Levine show. And he said, and let me read you this here from Dr. Harvey Risch, says, the evidence is overwhelming. There is no question that the people who need to be treated and are treated early, it has a very substantial benefit in reducing risk of hospitalization and mortality. And there has been a massive misinformation campaign that stretches from government to media that is either suppressing this message or it's countering it with a false message. I'm not an expert on why that is happening. Well, I damn well am, and I'll tell you what the reason is here, as we've been spelling out over the last hour with you. So, Dr. Lee, I mean, we look at this here, and then you wonder, well, I said to you a while back, well, why doesn't the president do something about it? You mentioned Fauci, you called him Emperor Fauci. And then Hahn, you could also say Hahn is in the same category. The president is clearly, I think he's onto the whole game here. In fact, I'm sure he is. And I think you probably would agree with that. But I think the politics has overtaken the whole conversation now in the narrative. And until this next election is won by either side, we're sort of at the mercy of now what's been played out there. It seems to me, Dr. Blake, there's not much the president seems to be able to do right now or willing to do or can do. I don't know which it is. But in regards to Hahn and Fauci, I think that it is, well, as they say, it is what it is now, isn't it?
Well, no, I disagree.
Good.
Malcolm.
Well, tell me.
I think there actually are two critical actions that the president could do right now. And I think his handlers may be advising him against it for political reasons. And some of his handlers, I have suspicions, are probably aligned with the deep state. But nevertheless, that's my opinion. I can only speculate. But no, I think there are two absolutely critical actions, actually three. Number one, he can issue an executive order under the Defense Production Act and override and the PREP Act, which Azar did for vaccines,
right,
last week, and issue an executive order that HCQ from the national stockpile is to be made available to pharmacies across the country. And under the PREP Act, there's legal grounds to override the state restrictions. So he could take that step. He could issue an executive order, as I proposed back in May, with medical documentation and safety documentation, send a proposal in May. He could issue an executive order, make it over the counter, put power back in the hands of the people, let them decide what they want to do. If you don't want to take hydroxychloroquine, don't take it. And the third thing is to remove Hahn to an unimportant position. Right. I mean, I get it. They say they can't fire federal employees. Well, actually, he's not a federal employee. He's a political appointee. He can move Hahn out as director, commissioner of the FDA, and put in a doctor like Dr. McCullough, like Dr. Risch, like Dr. Atlas, like several others I can think of, who would get in there, know the data, and would make the decision to issue the emergency use authorization to make it available.
I agree with that, but the big word that you use there is could.
Well, I think President Trump has been known for bold action. I think the fact that this is my opinion, observing the process and observing his body language and demeanor and some changes I noticed that may be subtle, but I see them. Mm-hmm. Right. I think the longer he has been out of contact with people at the rallies, I think the more isolated in the bubble of Washington he's become. And I think the handlers around him know that. It's almost like they are exploiting the fact that he's lost that connection with the direct connection with the people, and they're exploiting it and using it to control more of what he does.
Well, that's all by design as well. That is all by design as well. Let me get Dr. Marty Fox in here for a last word as well with us here. Marty, speaking of this, I hear the three things that Dr. Lee puts out there, but I still say, the president does do some bold things. I agree with Dr. Vlathia, but do you see him doing those things before the election?
No, I'll tell you, I'm sympathetic. I want him to do those things, but here's what I think would happen if he did. I mean, this is probably what he's being told.
Yeah.
You are going to be accused of practicing medicine without a license. You are going to change the subject. Right now, they are losing with the violence. That's the front page. They're going to turn it around and, make you into some kind of wacko practicing medicine. Now you're prescribing drugs. So I know, I wish he would do it. I agree with Dr. Vliet. He's known for bold action. Mm-hmm. But I think this is what he's being told, and it's being pushed to the sidelines. I want to say this. You know, people like Stalin, Chavez, Castro, they had to destroy businesses and confiscate wealth by force. And I think they have discovered here, our American communists, they've discovered a way without firing the shot to destroy businesses, destroy civil liberties. And I don't think they're going to give it up so easily. And on this vaccine, the whole organizing principle here seems to be preserve the profits for the vaccine, which is why the convalescent plasma is not any big threat, but hydroxychloroquine is. And vaccines, even a good vaccine, is not uniformly effective. So you will still have cases, and this will continue. You will still have police state blue governors and mayors making these rules, and it's still going to have to be addressed. It's not going to go away, I don't think, just because there's a vaccine.
Yeah, you know, the American communist, you say, and without a shot, very well said, Marty, because that puts it in perspective for folks to understand that they are taking that over. And when we talk about collateral damage, they're doing that both with the pandemic and with the civil unrest. And when you say destroying businesses and all sorts of livelihoods and homes and the public square center, that is also happening again. And this is where they've been really brilliant about it, is they've pitted American against American. And they've done it in a way from the backside that, you know, most people, it goes, it escaped. And this is where it is so vital what we're doing here. And the information we need to put out there is so vitally, vitally important. We need everybody's help to drive this information out there. I mean, because it is so key. So Dr. Vliet, Dr. Fox here, both of you here, listen, these are the two pieces they're pushing. I don't see, Dr. Vliet, I want to get a last word for you as well on this, but I don't think it's going to change right now until we get up over this election. I think we're in for a hard time ahead, I have to tell you, and I'm an optimist, but I do believe that we're coming to a head here, and I'd like your opinion on that, Dr. Vliet first, and then Dr. Fox as well, both of you. I think we're coming to a head, and I think it will be just after the election, but I don't think this is going to go down easy. What would you say?
Well, sadly, I think you're absolutely correct, and this pitting American against American is exactly what Nazi Germany did and what Stalin did and what Mao and did in China. It's the playbook they've always used for totalitarian control. And I have to say, with my ancestors going back to the founding of Jamestown and literally fighting for liberty, as I've said before, is literally in the DNA that I carry from my ancestors, I have been shocked at how quickly Americans have capitulated and have given in to this massive control and destruction of everything we hold dear. And I think that the average American across this country may well be reaching the boiling point. And I'm very concerned about, I think President Trump, actually, there are some ways we've given him as strategies he could use where he wouldn't be accused of practicing medicine mm-hmm. without a license, where it can be under the PREP Act, as Azar just did, which would come down to doctors making the decisions, not the president. Yeah. But nevertheless, whether he will do it or not, mm-hmm. I think depends upon how much he trusts his gut instincts and what's right for the country versus how much he listens to his political handlers.
Yeah, versus what you said the other day to me, that what is it, like over 1,000 people a day are dying? I mean, is that what you said to me?
Right. That's right.
I mean, hello. I mean, at some point, your conscience will kick in. Dr. Marty Fox, your thoughts are too about this coming to this point of that I just talked about. I think it happens after the election. What do you think?
Well, look, as I sit here, I don't see him doing anything about hydroxychloroquine before the election. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm focusing on that is because if he would, it would preempt 90% of what we're talking about. If he put all his authority and force behind it and made it available and used doctors, frontline doctors as spokespeople instead of Fauci, who I consider a swamp asset, this would restore a sense of normalcy. The panic would go away with the right messaging. And we would have mail-in, we would have in-person voting. It would preempt a lot of this plotting and scheming by the Democrats. And he has time to do it. So I don't, you know, making a political calculation, I don't see him doing anything right now, but this would solve 90% of all the problems here with this election.
Yeah.
And he would be a big hero in the end.
He would be a big hero. You listen there to the voice of Dr. Marty Fox and Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. Two of my heroes, by the way, because you hear how well spoken they both are. It is a blessing truly to have them part of this program and part of our message and network here at America Out Loud. I thank you, as always, for being with me and being part of the mission here. We are on the front lines. Please be there with us, and let's continue on with the fight here. Whatever happens come November 3rd, we will be ready to fight come November 4th for liberty always. It's time to get involved and get loud.